gentlemen, thanks for joining us at T4 America for the Smart City Challenge webinar this afternoon. We're going to get started here in just a few minutes. Thanks everyone for joining us. We just wanted to give everybody a chance to log in and get started. we will be recording this so everybody knows, so you'll get the audio file as an email afterward. Secondly, because there are so many participants online, we've muted all the calls, but there is a chat box on the left-hand side of your screen in which you can ask a question, and we'll do our best to fit in as many questions as we can. So to start, I'm going to kick it off to James Corliss, the Director of Transportation for America.
Okay, thanks, Russ. Again, this is James Corliss. I'm the Director of T4, and thanks, everybody, for being on the webinar today. And we're really thrilled also that we've got the U.S. Department of Transportation, who I'll introduce in a second, joining forces on this. We started a couple of months ago with phone calls, probably to many of you on the webinar today, trying to provide some pro bono assistance to cities that were putting together these applications. And we realized, as big a fan as we are of competitive grant programs, and thought it was very impressive that Secretary Fox wanted to kind of provide one city, kind of go big on one city, we started realizing early on that there were a lot of great ideas out there from talking to folks and talking to cities. We think this whole challenge and competition stimulated a lot of those ideas. There's nothing like putting $40, $50 million on the table and asking people to think big. But we also realized as soon as the semifinalists were announced that there were a lot of those other cities, many of you on the call today, and some of you who are the semifinalists, but particularly for those of you that didn't advance, the road should not stop here. There should be more to do. I just want to say a few things about Transportation for America, T4. You may know us, if you know us, from federal policy. We've worked with Hill and Congress for the last 7 years. We've worked to support and defend the Tiger program, to pass MAP 21 and the FAST Act. But you may not know, in the last 3 years, we've done a lot more state and local work. We've been working in state capitals around the country, something that we think is going to be really important as your smart city efforts advance, with or without this challenge money. You're going to need really supportive legislation in your state capitals, legislation that, frankly, empowers cities and gives you more tools and not fewer. We've also been running a leadership academy for the last couple of years. We ran one in 2015 with Indianapolis, Nashville, Tennessee, and Raleigh, North Carolina, all focused on modern 21st century approaches to public transit, which means thinking really beyond the bus and the train into a mobility management system, I think, very compatible with some of these smart cities ideas. And finally, we're really building a network of local leaders, local chambers of commerce, mayors, cities across the country, that want to go big, to do something different, to think creatively about transportation. And that's why we wanted to make sure that we actually rounded as many of you up as we could to put you on this call today and give you a sense of what other options are out there if you weren't so lucky as to advance in this competition. What kind of support can USDOT provide? What kind of support can T for America provide? So, again, that's the point of this call. We thought there were so many good ideas out there. We didn't want to just let them wither. And so we hope with our help we can advance this. Now, I'm thrilled to have Beth Osborne from our team, Senior Policy Advisor to T for America, who's going to talk a little bit later. And now I want to hand it over to Bryna Helfer, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Public Engagement at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Bryna, we're thrilled to have you. Take it away.
Well, James, thanks. And thanks for T for America for hosting this session today. We're really honored to be part of your outreach. And for everyone on the phone, thanks for joining. We are so excited, about the initiative, and we really want to just talk a little bit about. I'm here joined with my colleagues Brian Cronin and Robert Mariner and Ann Peterson, who work across the department on a variety of issues. And what we want to do today is talk a little bit about where we're at. We really believe that if we can just go to the next slide, that would be great. Thanks. We really believe that the Smart City Challenge, look, it was bold and exciting, and Secretary Fox is really excited about the innovations. And as James said, there are so many good ideas. We had 78 applicants, and we really appreciate everyone rolling up their sleeves to make the challenge a better challenge, and also to recognize that we hope that everyone has moved the conversation forward. We know that not everyone was selected as a finalist, but that we do believe, in talking with many of you, that the conversation is moving forward in terms of advancing smart city technologies and conversations, to James' point earlier. What we want to do, and as you received the note from Secretary Fox in the department, we want to continue this conversation with you. We want to make sure that you have all the information about other funding streams, about other opportunities, that if there's technical assistance available, that you're a part of that. And so today is kind of our first step. We appreciate T4 hosting in sharing a little bit about the challenge, some of the cross-cutting ideas that emerged in the challenge, and then what are funding streams on the table right now that could be at your fingertips, and that we want to make sure you're aware of those opportunities. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Brian Cronin. He's going to highlight a little bit about some of the themes that popped in the challenge. So, Brian?
Hey, thanks, Bryna, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. This next slide is one most of you have seen tremendously as we talked about our public engagement in December and January, trying to quickly ramp up and educate everybody on what we were thinking as we put the Smart City Challenge together. We identified 12 different vision elements, and everyone came through with lots of wonderful ideas about things that they could do around automation, around connected vehicles, around intelligent sensor infrastructure, about user-focused mobility and urban analytics and logistics, about business partners and modeling, about the smart grid and involving citizens, and then, of course, using architecture, infrastructure, and smart land use. So you've seen this, and we've talked about it, and we're very excited about the cities embracing these different concepts and ideas and how we're going to bring this together to have a holistic approach at looking at bringing technology to improve transportation. So in the next slide, let me talk on a high level about, what were the challenges that cities suggested they were facing. So in Beyond Traffic, the department had educated on a few different things, but what were the cities saying they were really facing? So first off, ensuring that all members of the community benefit from technology improvements. We really need to make sure that as we're embracing automation, connected vehicles, data and startup communities, how does everyone get access to the improvements that this technology is going to make? first mile, last mile service for transit users. This came through in many different ways and forms, whether it included automation or not. This was a big item that cities are facing. How do you combine payment systems? And then how do you attract that when you tag in smartphone usage? So how do we ease seamless transfer, as payment is one of the impediments that helps and hinders movement across the different transportation systems? The sharing economy, and how do we integrate those different providers into the suite of mobility options, and how do we leverage and tackle different policy issues and payment issues and service issues? This is a huge theme and huge issue for us that we need to target, and it came through as a big opportunity that cities face right now and want to tackle. How do we enhance trip planning services to help make efficient choices? Really, it's about choice and all these different services and solutions. Or how do we package that together and make it easier for people to get from A to B? Determine the current state of conditions. So this is a big issue, and how we use data and how we use information to understand where are there bottlenecks, where are there accidents, where are issues causing problems that would, if we could have different travel choices and we could let people know what they are, they can make more efficient options and selections as they go about their travel through the day. Improving bicycle and pedestrian safety. Safety as a whole was a big issue that people identified, but once we start talking about the sharing economy, we start talking about access, bicycle and pedestrian is a major issue that people brought to the fore. How we facilitate goods movement across the city. So how we get into that last mile urban delivery, how we get into that distribution center, how do we get goods to the distribution centers faster? All of these areas were highlighted as key issues that your cities are facing. Coordinating the data collection and analysis across systems. We still have many disconnected systems, and as we try to make data available for startups and developers and to provide that information for current conditions, bringing that data together in a uniform and standards way to enable decision-making is still a huge issue. Inefficiency in parking systems and payment. There's a lot of cities brought to the attention and kind of reinforced that there's a lot of time lost searching for parking, and there's a lot of issues around back into the payment function. How do we make it easy for people to pay for parking when they need to do so? How do we limit the impact on climate change and reducing carbon emissions? Big environmental issue. How do we get electric vehicles? How do we look at this electrification at large and tying in that aspect of a smart city? Along an issue, improving signal operations. Long-time issue that we've been facing and reinforced here as a core part of a smart city is we still need to make our traffic signal systems more effective, and that was continued to be brought up. And then how do we have access to partners in adapting new business models? We really, the department has announced several partners of ours, but the cities have come through and identified lots of opportunities for new and innovative partnerships to help bring funding, solutions, technology to the table that we need to start to look into leveraging and capitalizing. So that's a quick summary of some of the challenges that you all have indicated to us that we're excited to be trying to address in the Smart City Challenge.
And also just not inside the Smart City Challenge, but really across everything we're doing, Secretary Fox's priorities are on innovation and safety and creating ladders of opportunity. And so as we look across all of our funding streams, both in the department and outside of the department, really interested in kind of how we continue to support these efforts, not just with the Smart City Challenge, but across the board. And so if we can move to the next slide, that'd be great. And so as we think about some of the pieces that, we're talking about in terms of traffic signal improvements and travel information and parking solutions, all the things that were highlighted by Brian, clean technologies, mobility on demand, electric vehicle and smart grid technologies, as we look at all of that and we look at funding, there's two kinds, really multiple types of funding. One is our formula dollars that go to states and the cities directly. So on the state side, you know, our highway dollars are distributed to the states, but ultimately those come down to local communities. And so how do you work with your states to elevate those types of projects in your transportation improvement plans and build partnerships? And on the transit side, you know, are you a director? Is your city a direct recipient for transit? How are you working? How is the transit agency actively engaged? I see we have a lot of cities on the line today, but you know, we'd be curious in the chat box if you'd share what your relationship is with your state or your transit agency. That will also help us understand how we can help you in terms of future partnerships and strengthening those relationships for moving forward. And today we just, Beth, did you want to add?
Yeah, and I this is Beth Osborne with Transportation for America. One of the things I wanted to point out that I really liked about the list that Brian went through is it wasn't just about kind of pie-in-the-sky futuristic technologies. It was about utilizing technologies, some of which have been around for some time, but applying it in a new way that unleashes great choice and opportunity. And I think that's what's so great about this and what PEEP for America really wants to work with is those who are ready to apply technologies readily available right now in new ways in an effort to bring better choices to the existing transportation system.
So, Brian, you want to talk a little bit about these opportunities that Beth just highlighted?
Great, Beth and Brian, thank you very much. So the first slide here really tries to categorize when the smart city, we talked and asked you to equate your issues and challenges in terms of safety, mobility, and the environment. So Brian had talked a lot about sort of the formula funds, the bread and butter of the program that you have access to federal highway and FTA funds related to highway safety improvement programs, related to National Highway Performance Program and a surface transportation program, and then on the CMAQ funding. So we just wanted to remind everybody that while there's grant programs, there is money going through the states that is available to you to move your ideas forward. And we don't want you to forget about that. There's a tremendous amount of resource. You have great ideas you put forth. And we want to remind you about these programs to consider. So let's move into the next piece. We're very proud that today, several weeks or so of front of the deadline from Congress, we have released the Advanced Transportation and Congestion Management Grant Program. This is a brand new $60 million innovative program looking at funding from the Intelligent Transportation Systems Program and several other federal highway programs, looking at how we can accelerate deployment of technologies and solutions that improve and address congestion management. And it is a competitive grant program. It was released today. If you go to grants.gov and search on this title, you can get access to it. Maybe we'll be able to get that to the chat box before this session's over. I believe proposals are due on June 3rd. One of the things we wanted to highlight for you is that Congress said we could put focus areas into the program and we could change those by year. And so we've done that. And one of the focus areas for this year is smart city solutions. So there's a reason for that. This was the Secretary's Smart City Challenge. He's very focused, and we're very interested in moving this initiative forward and all the great ideas you put forth. So there's also other opportunities, and you don't have to put your whole smart city application in, but that is there. We've highlighted it, and it is a wonderful opportunity we encourage you to look into. And look at how you advance your technology solutions through this effort.
Thanks, Brian. So the next set of discretionary dollars that we have is on Tiger and Fastlane, and so I'm going to turn it over to Robert Mariner to share some of those.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Now, this is Robert Mariner, the Tiger Program Manager from the Office of the Secretary at USDOT. As the slide states, the department has embarked on its eighth round of the Tiger Discretionary Grant Program for this FY 2016, Congress authorized $500 million for surface transportation investments across the country. One of the major differences from previous rounds is Congress reduced the minimum grant required for projects located in urbanized areas to reduce it down to $5 million, where historically it's been a minimum $10 million grant requests for projects located in urbanized areas. Quickly on eligibility, those applicants who would be eligible are any state government agency, any county government agency, political subdivision thereof, municipal government, metropolitan planning organization, transit agency, port authority are also eligible for TIGER funding. The types of projects that are eligible are your traditional highway, bridge, roadway, complete streets improvements, intelligent transportation systems, technology deployment would be eligible for TIGER funding. Transit system improvements are also eligible for TIGER funding, railroad improvements, port infrastructure improvements. So there's a whole host of information provided on the TIGER website. That's www.transportation.gov/TIGER. And you can find a host of information on the TIGER program. We're quickly approaching our application deadline, as the slide states. April the 29th, 2016 is our application deadline where all final applications are due, and that cutoff time is 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Transitioning to the Fastlane Grants Program.
Before you do that, very quickly, one thing to keep in mind with the TIGER Grant Program is what you apply for. While in terms of smart cities work, you might want to demonstrate something. You want this to be research based. TIGER is looking for projects that are not demonstration programs. They're looking for something that is going to be integrated with the transportation system and permanent. So be very careful. There have been attempts in the past to apply for demonstration-style projects. They're never competitive. They've never been funded. So make sure that if you're picking out pieces of your smart cities application, that it's more the infrastructure side that's going to be in place and a project of independent utility that will be utilized across the board.
Very good point. So I'll transition to Fastlane Grant. So the Fastlane Grant Program is the first of its kind within the department. It's a part of the – it was created as part of the FAST Act, which Congress passed in December 2015. This is a five-year authorized program, $4.5 billion authorized over 5 years from FY 2016 to 2020. This is a freight and highway-specific focused program. 90% of the funding will go to highway programs by virtue of the restrictions per the statute. Of that $4.5 billion, there's a $500 million set aside for non-highway projects, so multimodal, intermodal transfer facilities, rail infrastructure, port-to-rail connections. All of those would be eligible for Fastlane grants as long as the applicant can articulate the benefit that it will provide to the movement of goods and freight across the country. But it will be confined to within that $500 million cap over the aggregate of the 5 years.
And I'm imagining that DOT has not yet decided how much of that $500 million they plan to use up this round.
That's correct. So we have not received any specific guidance from the Secretary as to if he's anticipating using up the entire $500 million availability of funding for this first year, or you know how he plans on spreading that out over the remaining four rounds after this first round is completed. Two things that are important: there's a large project component that's projects with a total project cost of $100 million or more. Those applicants would be required to request a minimum of $25 million. Then there's a small projects. Per the statute, there's a minimum no more than 10% is to be funded for the first round of Fastlane grants, which for this first year is $800 million is available. However, for small projects, the Secretary will fund no more than $76 million to projects located in small areas. $76 million to projects that are designated as small. And to be designated a small project, those are projects with a total project cost of less than $100 million, and applicants are required to request at a minimum $5 million. By virtue of cost share requirements, they're the same for whether you're requesting funds for a large project or a small project. The maximum that can be contributed using Fastlane funds, whether it's a small or a large, is 60% of the total project cost. To get you from 60 to 80%, you can use other federal funds, such as TIGER, such as other CMAQ funds, other federal aid dollars. But that final 20% at a minimum must be non-federal funds contributed from the eligible applicant as part of that submitted application. As with TIGER, tons of information provided on the Fastlane Grants website. That's www.transportation.gov/Fastlane Grants. There you'll find a copy and a link to the Notice of Funding Opportunity. The application deadline for Fastlane is quickly approaching. April the 14th, 2016 is the application deadline for the Fastlane Grants. So don't procrastinate. Get on top of it. One thing that I will share for both TIGER and Fastlane, please verify your username and password access for grants.gov because all applications, whether it's TIGER or Fastlane, are required to be submitted through grants.gov. If you have issues with registering and you wait until the last minute to start that registration process, more than likely you could potentially miss the final application deadline, and not having a valid username and password for grants.gov, a valid DUNS number, or a valid SAM ID, which are all components of that grants.gov access. Not having that at the time you attempt to submit, even if it is at that final application deadline, that would not constitute a valid technical issue. So please, at the end of this call, make sure your staffs are verifying that all of your information is up to date and valid, ensuring that your DUNS number and SAM ID will be active and valid at the time and after these application deadlines so you don't run into that issue.
And I would like to emphasize this. When Robert says don't wait to the last minute, today is the last minute. If you do not have this verified today, you need to start those processes today. It will take every bit of the next 3 weeks to get it done, and you might not be able to get it done in that period of time. So please, if you want to apply for either of these programs, confirm this afternoon with your staff that you have an active grants.gov account.
And you can email additional questions to TIGER.
Correct. For TIGER, for the TIGER Discretionary Grant Program, you can send emails to tigergrants@dot.gov. For Fastlane Grants question, you can send those emails to fastlanegrants@dot.gov. Also, feel free to email me directly, robert.mariner, M-A-R-I-N-E-R, @dot.gov, if you have any specific questions and you're not getting quick enough responses from TIGER Grants or Fastlane Grants at dot.gov email addresses. One final point, eligible applicants can submit as many as 3 applications for both TIGER as well as Fastlane Grants. However, keep in mind, TIGER and Fastlane are 2 distinct programs. They have their own selection criteria. They have their own eligibility requirements. So be very, very careful. Also, with regards to submitting projects that you're attempting to submit as a route with rural designation, there are different requirements for what's valid for rural under TIGER versus the Fastlane grant. So as I stated, there's tons of information on both of the program's websites, and if you have any questions, feel free to send those to the respective email addresses.
Thanks, Robert. So lots of great information there. We're going to hit a few more discretionary grants. It just so happens. Oh, please go back. Thank you. There's a lot of money on the street right now. That's the good news. I can't remember a time in my experience at DOT over several periods of DOT where there's been this much discretionary money on the street at one time. So the next program we want to make sure you're aware of, and this is an amazing opportunity that we don't think that cities think about, and that's the University Transportation Center. And in your chat box, it would be great if everyone just thinks about what's the university in your backyard. Who's in your backyard? What university is sitting there? Because we have over $8 million available. 5 national university transportation centers, 10 regional centers, 20 tier 1 UTCs that are for local activity. But here's the deal. These are for improving mobility, reducing congestion, promoting safety, preserving the environment, improving durability and extending the life of infrastructure, preserving the existing infrastructure system, research, technology transfer, demonstration, implementation, all of the things that you're thinking about for your smart city could be potentially part of a University Transportation Center grant. So we would encourage you to reach back. Universities are required to have collaboration as one of their selection criteria, to work with, to have relationships beyond their universities, to put the university's work into practice and provide potential, you know, opportunities for graduate students to test that undergraduate and graduate students to test those that research work in the community. So this is a partnership made in heaven for cities. And so the application deadline is April 1st, but the application isn't until mid-May. And so there is time here. If you are not already at the table with the university in your backyard, I would encourage you to start this conversation. And my guess is many of you may have already started that conversation as part of your smart city application. So how do you go back to that university and say, okay, there's more money on the table. How do we get to this competition? So we'd encourage you to also look at that information.
Yeah, I would say there are a lot of people that weren't quite sure the UTC program would remain competitive as long as it has. Congress seems to like this approach. But one thing that Congress regularly complains about is that research programs have trouble transitioning to deployment. So the UTC application that comes in with a city as partner and with the opportunity to actually deploy what is the subject of the research is going to really stand out. And you all are the opportunity for that deployment. So as much as the UTC program has come along, this is still a shortcoming of the program, and this is a great opportunity to put those two areas together.
So, again, you know, thinking about who are your partners in freight, who are your partners for Tiger, who are your partners for University Transportation Centers. So we have a few more discretionary programs, and then I know we want to get to Q&A, so we'll go through these quickly. Bus discretionary grants, coming very soon. We anticipate they'll be out, hopefully by April. And these are, there's money in here specifically for low and no emission bus deployment. We know, you know, Brian hit on this in part of the themes for clean energy. So, again, these are aging fleets or facilities, but also $55 million set aside for low or no emission bus deployment projects. So, again, these are in your backyard. Eligibility is for the designated recipient. So this is another great opportunity for cities to really take a look. And then there's some other, you know, funding. We don't have our partners from EPA or Energy here today. We will do some follow-up with you on their grant program specifically, but there are other agencies that are also looking at opportunities here, and so more to come on them. But we just, again, wanted to make sure that you're turning over all those rocks, and we wanted to make sure that you're aware of those. So we really appreciate the opportunity to talk through some of these. So thank you. I think we have just a couple more things we wanted to touch on, and then we'll turn it back to our partners here at T4. So mobility on demand, Brian, you mentioned in your thematic overview of Smart City application that a lot of cities are thinking about how can we do a better job, how can cities do a better job of matching customers to mobility options? And we know with the, whether people are using paratransit or fixed routes or these transportation provider networks, but one of the things is how do you really make the system work together? And regardless of where you're going or who's paying or who's providing the ride, that there's a seamless network and seamless connections. And for all users, regardless of ability and age, income, or community. And so FTA is really putting their foot forward on this. They're doing some amazing work. I would encourage you to partner with your transit agency on exploring mobility on demand, but also all those other network providers in your community for this seamless piece. And we just last week released a new piece of information that Ann Peterson's going to share with you around data and transit mapping to improve your understanding of how citizens have access to public transportation or other modes. So
Thank you, Bryna. As you mentioned, I'm Ann Peterson. I'm with the Office of the Chief Information Officer at DOT, and we're super excited to have announced last week with our colleagues at the Bureau of Transportation Statistics as well as the Federal Transit Administration that we're going to be working with transit agencies across America to build the first ever national transit map. So it's sort of amazing that nobody's ever created something like this before. We're actually going to work with transit agencies to collect their schedule data and publish it as one open, machine-readable data set so that researchers, policymakers, and private citizens can get a better sense of where transit service goes in America and where it doesn't go and where those gaps exist that prevent people from accessing opportunities. So we wanted to strongly encourage you to give a heads up to your local transit agencies because we think this could be really useful to you as well, especially those of you who have multiple transit agencies within your city, to collect all of this information in one place so that you can begin to get a complete picture of where transit goes and begin to commingle that with other data sets to get a better picture of, for example, which areas have low car ownership and don't have great access to transit. So we think this is going to be really great. It's quite painless for the transit agencies that already produce this sort of data. We just need them to opt in and give us permission to collect it from their website. If they don't already collect this, create this sort of data, there's also technical assistance available through FTA to help them build out machine-readable schedule data. So we certainly encourage you to ask your transit agencies to participate. Finally, I'd like to quickly introduce the site that we will be adding to our transportation.gov smart city page in the next day or so. I'm sure that many of you have received inquiries from private organizations, be they companies, startups, universities, nonprofits, who are interested in partnering with you on the Smart City Challenge. Certainly we here at DOT received a number of inquiries as well, and we wanted to give a place for those sorts of organizations to register their interest, let you know what sorts of services they provide, and give you a way to get in touch with them. So we created this simple web page that will be on our website. So the URL is in the slide deck, which will be sent to you after this presentation. And we also want to encourage you, if you are getting reached out to by partners who might be interested in registering themselves, please share with them the link that's included on this slide. As you can see, it's quite simple. We just need them to provide their name, their point of contact, email, their phone number, and a brief description of what they do, no more than 150 words or so, just to give you a brief sense of what they provide. We do an initial glance through this. To be clear, we are not going through a detailed vet process on these. We want to make sure that they are relevant, but we are not necessarily recommending these organizations. We just want you to know who is out there, who is interested with working with you to tackle these challenges. So please do take a look at it once it launches, and we thank you very much for sharing it with anyone else who might be interested.
So I think we're turning it back over to your team. A few resources. If you know, if you're not in touch with your division offices for Federal Highway, there's one in every state. There's FTA regional offices, but again, if you need direct technical assistance, you can also email us at smartcitychallenge@dot.gov. So, and for specific grant information, technical assistance on these programs, we really do want to try to work with all of you moving forward, and this won't be the last time that we're connected with you. This is really what we hope to be an ongoing engagement with all of you. So thanks for having us, Transportation for America. We appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we're really glad that you all are here. We're also really glad that Secretary Fox decided to do something so innovative and forward-leaning. It's really exciting to see an opportunity to empower cities where some of the most innovative things are happening on the ground to utilize limited dollars, limited right-of-way, and limited options, but to do it in a way that brings technology to transportation and allows more people to have more options. Transportation for America is looking to work with cities that are interested in building on this strong smart cities culture and technological foundation. We want those cities that want to start implementing technologies that are available right now and deploy benefits today. While it's really exciting to think of some of the more futuristic technologies that could be available in 20 years, and we do want to provide a good foundation as emerging technologies come onto the scene so that they can be available to the most people in the best possible way, what we really want to do is apply what is available right now and have immediate transformational impact. We see examples of this across the board. 10 years ago, we weren't talking about ride-sharing technologies, and they have transformed the transportation landscape in spite of the fact that they didn't use Jetson-style technology. They applied current tools in a way that opened up vast new options for people across the country. We here at Transportation for America have worked with cities and business and philanthropy and stakeholders to develop the concept of complete streets, an old-fashioned street design brought into the new world with a new vigor and a desire to connect people to the things that they want on a daily basis in the most cost-effective way. We want to do the same thing in the concept of connected streets. And all the issues that Brian went through at the beginning, the providing of the most useful information to the user so they can take advantage of all the options that are available to them now, and possibly help cities find additional options that they can provide to their residents. So what we're going to be doing is reviewing the applications from you all who submitted to USDOT to see where we might have some partners that we can work with. And if you've got an application that you think fits into that, please share it with us and let us know. We want to follow up with one-on-one interviews with those who have applications that address these areas and create a Smart Cities Collaborative with a number of cities so that you all could be talking to each other and creating a network of information to share back and forth. We want to develop a cohesive communications framework that allows us to talk to the public about these concepts. We don't want these to be difficult to understand pie-in-the-sky concepts. We want people to understand about how this can affect their day-to-day lives. We'll be conducting national, state, and local policy scans and reviewing codes and regulations to see which ones help and which ones hinder with creating a smart city. And last, we're going to be facilitating a visioning process for cities to think about what's possible outside the guidelines of the Smart Cities Challenge. And those who participate with these areas, there will be direct technical assistance available to a number of cities to implement some of these ideas that you all have come up with. USDOT got us all started, and we don't want to see, just because they have the funding for only one city, for all these other good ideas to go away. We want to find as many ways to connect you with funding opportunities and technical assistance from the nonprofit, the philanthropic, and the private world in order to make sure they come to life. So stay tuned and stay in touch with us, those of you that think you might be able to take advantage of some of that technical assistance and want to be a part of it. We want to hear from you. And with that, are there any questions that have popped up in the text box that maybe folks that have spoken can answer? Someone's asking about the MOD NOFA.
The Mobility on Demand NOFA? So there's not a NOFA on the street right now for Mobility on Demand. I wonder, Beth, if anyone from Smart Growth, the mobility management efforts that Smart Growth is doing with around the country, if you guys want to talk about the mobility management aspect?
We don't have anything going
not on. Not money-wise, but just the efforts?
Money-wise, absolutely. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing in terms of a scan of national, state, and local policies. To get a sense of what people have tried, what's working, what might be hidden traps in old regs and policies that make it hard to do some of these things. And we're certainly going to be working also through a lot of the technical assistance we do in transit-oriented development and complete streets to connect these ideas into that.
So we do have a question here that says, will there be a follow-up session to this webinar or an ongoing discussion?
So here at DOT, just talking from USDOT, we are planning on doing continuous outreach to all of the city applicants, and we'll be back in touch with folks. And I don't know separately if T4 wanted to mention – I think Beth mentioned that they also are available P4 is one of many partners that we work with and stakeholders that we work with, but DOT, you know, is looking to do continuous outreach, and I think P4 separately from us are also looking at that.
Like I said, we're going to be creating a Smart Cities Collaborative with a number of cities, and those that are involved with that will have an ongoing conversation, not just with us and with each other, but with those who might be able to be good partners in this process.
We have another question here that asks, will the Smart City applicant rank higher than others in these other grant programs?
So I think that all programs are based on merit and stand on their own, but we do want to make sure that all Smart City applicants know about all of the opportunities. And, you know, we provide technical assistance for all applicants on proposals until the proposal is closed, and so we just really want to make sure that Smart City applicants understand those opportunities and they don't go unnoticed.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be important. You know, all of these different programs come with very particular statutory requirements and rules, and because of that, DOT has to put those issues first. What I would recommend to anyone interacting with DOT is to talk to them about your Smart Cities proposal and talk to whomever is managing the program that you're interested in DOT to see which portions of your Smart Cities proposal might fit best into that program. What I would hate to see cities do is just pick up their Smart Cities application and throw it into a whole bunch of different programs. Those applications are going to have to change based on the program you're applying to, and they will probably have to change pretty substantially in the case of most of them. So other than the advanced technologies one, Brian, which you said that one's already out on the street?
That went out today.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I think what I articulated, which is, you know, different is, Congress indicated we can provide focus areas, and we could change that by year with that program. And so Smart City, and I'll use the word solutions, is one of the focus areas. So that does not mean Smart City applicants are a focus area. That means the types of solutions you proposed. And so, you know, there are different criteria for that grant program. And then the Smart City selection, their criteria, but there's a lot of similarity because it's focused on technology deployment.
Yeah, I think that one has the most overlap with what you folks did on Smart Cities, but don't assume that because you designed an application for Smart City that you properly designed the application for these other programs. And they're all going to be highly competitive, and they're all going to have more applications than funding to give out. So you're going to need to tailor those applications for these individual programs.
We have another question here, Beth, about how does a city become involved in T4 Smart City Project and Collaborative?
The first thing to do is to share with us your application so we can make sure that there's a good opportunity for collaboration there. So you can reach out to me or to Russ Brooks. Is our contact information? We're going to send it along so that you know where to send to.
The next question we have is there any money available for planning and preliminary engineering to support future grant applications?
I wish that I could say yes to that question. We have had these brief moments in time where Congress has acknowledged the usefulness of funding planning in and of itself in round two of TIGER and round six of TIGER, but then it goes away. And I think I can say this for T4America. I know USDOT can't say this, but it's really important for you all to talk to your congressional leaders and let them know why that is of benefit. We have tried to make the point to Congress, both at T4America and when I was at USDOT, that innovative projects are very hard to fund the planning of. And when these grant programs come along, they all want projects that are already planned and engineered. And if you can't find a program that is designed for your innovative project to plan and engineer, and you can't come up with a planning program for it, you're stuck. And so if Congress wants to see innovation, there needs to be funding. for the planning of things are a little innovative and outside the norm, but they don't hear that enough. In fact, they rarely hear that. So that's one place where you may want to speak up and see if maybe in round 9 of Tiger they could add planning back.
Well, let me just add to that. So Beth is correct. So Congress did not authorize planning funds for the Tiger Discretionary Grant Program. However, in Fastlane for small projects, requesting funds for planning is eligible. We're unsure how the Secretary is going to handle, you know, planning only requests for this upcoming round of Fastlane grants, being that it's the first round. But per the statute, we can accept as eligible applications that we're requesting funding for planning. But it has to be still in line with the specific requirements of the Fastlane grant. So.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And thank you to DOT for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We'll be sending along all the presentation, the PowerPoint slides that you saw, a recording along with everything that you've heard here today, and contact information so that you can continue to ask questions now that the webinar is finished.
And, you know, from USDOT, thanks to T4 America. And to all of you, we will look forward to working with you moving forward. So have a great afternoon. Thank you, Russ.
Again, we'll have contact information if you have any other questions. But thank you again for joining us. We really appreciate it.